we left off last time on the Sugan Daf Memches, about 12 lines below the Mishnah. I want to review a little bit, because the Gemara itself is, on the one hand, it's very, a little bit complicated, what we're about to look at. At the same time, it is astoundingly fascinating, because in this particular case, the Gemara has actually, the editors of the Gemara have left the seams intact. What I mean by that is that normally the Gemara speaks in a sort of a uniform voice, as sort of a text, a complete text. And you don't always, you know, without sort of subtle observations or comments of the Rishonim, sometimes you don't realize the seams in the text. But this is a case where one sugya actually refers to the work of another sugya. It's not unheard of in Shas, but it's unusual. And the sugya that it's going to refer to is one that we did earlier. So what I would like to do is to take, first I want to just review where we are here, then I'm going to go back and look at that Gemara again, and then come back and see what the Gemara does here. But it is certainly highly unusual. So the Mishnah had said that there are three kinds of Asherah trees. Three kinds of trees that are associated with Avodah Zarah. Number one is a tree that was planted to be worshipped. And that, the Mishnah says, it's Asura. Doesn't explain any details, but it says Harezo Asura. Then it says that Gida Upista L'Shem Avodas Kochavim. The tree was not planted L'Shem Avodas Zara. Let's assume for the moment you planted the tree, but not for the purposes of worship. And then, later, you decide, you know what? Not just decide you're going to worship it, you trim the tree so that it will grow more. You prune the tree. So the Mishnah says that in that case, Gideo Pistol L'Shem Avodas Kochavim V'Hechlif, no Tomasha Hechlif. It brings out new branches, so those things have the status, those are an Asherah, those branches you can't get Hana from. If you want to use the rest of the tree, you hack away those branches, you destroy them, get rid of them, and then the rest of the tree is fine. And finally, the third case is He'emi Tachteha. If the tree was not planted to be worshipped, the tree was not pruned to be worshipped, the tree is not intended to be worshipped, but they set up an Avodah Zarah underneath the tree, and you take it, and then all you have to do is remove the Avodah Zarah, the Pesel is taken away, and the tree is fine. Now, one question, if you remember what we spoke about last week, the Gemara here does not talk about a very important question. When it came to the bias, we've seen now three Mishnayos that look almost identical in structure, right? A house that you built in order to worship the house, a house that wasn't built to be worshipped, but you renovate it, and finally a house which you don't worship, your intent is never to worship at all, but rather you just put an idol in there. And the Mishnah said that the first one is Asura, because you built a house in order to worship it. The second one is all you have to do is remove the renovation, scrape off the plaster that you added, and then the house, then you can use the house. And in the third case, if they take the Avodah Zarah out, then the house becomes permitted. So it's really perfectly parallel to this. Except for, there was one crucial detail that Rav added in the first Mishnah, which certainly applies to the second Mishnah, which is not clear what happens in our Mishnah. And that is that Rav says that if you bow to a house, if you deify a house and you worship it, it immediately becomes Asur Bahana. It becomes Asur Bahana, even though the house is attached to the ground. Why? Because Rav believes that something that was Talush, Ula B'Sov Chibro, it had been detached from the ground, now you reattach it because you build it in, you build the foundation, so it's still considered Talush, and the rule is that when you worship something that's actually part of the ground, it doesn't become Asur Bahana. You worship the mountain, you worship a tree that's been there forever, it doesn't become Asur. Mechubar doesn't become Asur. But Talush does become Asur. And therefore, Rav says, a house, even though it's now attached to the ground because the stones were taken out of the ground and the wood was taken out of the ground, even though the house is attached now, it's still usur when you worship it. Which then means when the Mishnah says that a house that you build, l'shem avodah zarah is usur, it means if you didn't worship it. Why? Because the second case is a house that wasn't built l'shem avodah zarah, but you do renovations. And the Mishnah says once you take out the renovations, the rest of the house is mutter. If it's a case where you worshipped the house, then the entire house would be usur even in the second case. So obviously, Rav, the way the Gemara, once you adopt Rav's position, it means that if you build a house l'shem avodah zarah, no different than if you build a pesel, you build a graven image for avodah zarah, it's immediately aser b'hanah. If you have a house that's there already, no connection to avodah zarah, but it's yours and you worship it, it also becomes aser b'hanah. And if you have a house which was not designated to worship it, and they do renovations, but you haven't worshipped it yet, so then you only have to remove the renovations. But if you worship it, it doesn't make a difference why you built it, you know, and what you added, and when you added, it makes no difference. It would all be usher.
And if we remove the tit that we talked about last week?
If you had worshipped that house, and you remove the plaster, it doesn't help you, because the rest of the house is also usher. You would need, if it was only worshipped by non-Jews, you would need a non-Jew to be mevatel the house. If it was worshipped by Jews, nothing will help. So the question is, what's the story by the trees? In other words, the Mishnah says there are three trees. The tree that you plant initially to worship. Did you worship it or not? Then the tree which wasn't planted to be worshipped, but you renovate the tree. You trim it, you prune it. Now it grows new stuff. Did you worship the tree? Did you not worship the tree? And the third case, clearly, obviously, in all the cases of the Mishnahs, the third case does not entail worshipping the object. The case of the house, the house is just the enclosure for the avodah zarah. You don't actually worship the house, and here you don't worship the tree. You worship the idol that's underneath the tree. And so that actually is a very, very important question, which we're going to have to explore later in the Gemara. There is a logical from the perspective of literary parallelism, it would make sense to assume that what Rav said on the first Mishnah should apply to the second Mishnah and the third Mishnah. And in fact, it turns out pretty much everybody agrees that Rav's statement, even if you disagreed with Rav on the first Mishnah, you certainly agree with Rav on the second Mishnah. In the second Mishnah was a case of a bimus, a large stone which you cut, you hewed, and you set up, and they would worship the bimus, and they would sometimes put an idol on top of it and worship that as well. Everybody agrees, if you a stone, you tear it out of the ground, you set it up, you shape it, if you worship that stone, everybody agrees that it's aser b'hanah. There's no question. That is talosh. That is not mechubar. So Rav's statement is certainly, everybody would agree, even if you disagree with Rav, even if you believe that a house is not nesar b'hanah because it's mechubar l'karka, unless if you didn't build the house to worship it, but you built, there's a house that's built, you buy the house, you now worship it, even if you were to disagree with Rav and say that a house is considered mechubar, you have to say in the second Mishnah, you certainly have to say that it's a case where they didn't worship the bimus. Because if they worshiped the bimus, it doesn't matter whether you did in the first place to be a bimus, or if you didn't and you just put plaster on it and you renovated the bimus, it wouldn't make a difference. It wouldn't suffice to strip away the new plaster. So from the perspective of literary parallelism, it would be very nice to have all three Mishnayos line up. There is, however, perhaps a logical distinction between these two, which Tosfos points out, which is that when it comes to a bias, we understand why someone might say, more easily say, that even though you've now attached it to the ground, you put a foundation, you can't like pick it up, not just because of its weight, because it's actually stuck in the ground. Nonetheless, we can understand why someone might say there that you took the pieces, you glued them to the ground, but fundamentally they are now talush. A tree, however, is different, as we've encountered in previous sugyos. Tosus's claim was, I think, on Daf Memhamud Beis, Tosus claimed that a tree, according to the position of the Chachamim, we're going to review that in a moment because that's the Gemara earlier we have to deal with. According to the position of the Chachamim, a tree that wasn't planted, l'shem avodah zarah, is never nesar when you worship it, even though a human being planted it. Why is that different than a bias? The answer is because a tree is actually mechubar l'karka. When a living thing takes root in the ground, it really is mechubar. Whereas, once you disturb, take the rocks out of the earth, they're never truly mechubar again. So, with that introduction, the Gemara had a few comments about the Mishnah. And now I want to go back and review a Gemara that we did earlier on Daf Mem Hey Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph had observed that if you bow to the mountains, they don't become prohibited in Hana. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Eloheim, Alaharim, Velohaharim, Eloheim. In principle, Mechubar is not Nesar. Something which is attached to the ground, really part of the ground, doesn't become Asur Bahana. Okay. Then, the Gemara Mishnah asked a very simple question. Then why is an Asherah tree prohibited? Why does the Torah mandate that we burn the Asherah trees? An Asherah tree is Mechubar Lakarka. So the answer the Mishnah gives is that an Asherah has tfisas yad adam. there was human involvement in it. Meaning a person plants the tree, does something. The two choices are they either plant a seed or they already plant a shoot or something. Something of that, one of those two things. As opposed to a mountain, which is there from Sheshis Yimei Bereshis, or even if it wasn't there from Sheshis Yimei Bereshis, it has been created by the natural tectonic forces. No human being actually had control over this particular, over the mountain. So then the Gemara has the following discussion. The Gemara actually thinks, the Gemara is trying to figure out what's the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosei HaGalili and the Mishnah, because they both seem to say the same thing. So one of the answers the Gemara gave was Ilan Shenita'o Ulabasof Avada, a tree which a human being planted and only later worshipped. So the Gemara suggests that there are two opinions here. One opinion says that since a human being planted this tree, it wasn't planted on its own, it wasn't there without human intervention, that's called having Tfisas Yat HaAdam, and therefore when a human being who owns it, has power, worships it, it becomes Asur Bahana. Whereas the other position is that no, that once it wasn't planted to be an Asherah tree, it wasn't planted to be worshipped, and it's now attached to the ground, it's now really part of the ground, so it's just like the mountain, it's mechubar, it's attached to the ground, it cannot become Asur Bahana. So the Gemara actually said it was a machlokas, and then the Gemara on Menhamed Beis, 8 lines from the top of the page, the last 2 words on the line. The Gemara said as follows: "V'af Rabbi Yosei b'Rabbi Yehuda savar ilan shenita'o lebesof avado aser." Rabbi Yosei b'Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Yosei HaGalil in the Mishnah that if it was planted by a person, it didn't grow on its own, but it's planted by a person, and even though it wasn't planted to be worshipped, and someone decides to subsequently to worship it, it is now aser b'hana. D'tanya. Rabbi Yosei b'Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mitoch shenemar Eloheim ala horim velo horim Eloheim, Eloheim ala gvos velo gvos Eloheim, shomei ani, I would have thought that if the mountains and the hills can't become Asur, I would have thought, shomei ani, tachas kol eitz ranon Eloheim, velo eitz, one second, velo eitz ranon Eloheim. In other words, underneath the tree, but the tree itself cannot be in Avodah Zarah. Talmud Lomar, Va'asherehem tisrefun ba'esh. We have a pasuk that says that you have to burn the asherah in fire, which means obviously it's aser b'hana. Ela tachas kol eitz ranan lamali. Why does the Torah then say v'sachat tachas kol eitz ranan? So the Gemara says ahulach Rabbi Akiva hu da'asa da'amar Rabbi Akiva. He's quoted in the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva says that the Torah is just giving you a place marker for where to look for avodah zara. He says kol makom shata motzei har gavoa v'giva nisa. You find high mountains and tall hills. The eitz ranan and shady trees dashe yesham avodas kochavim. You should know that there is avodah zara there. So that's what the Gemara says, that how does Rabbi Yosei b'Rabbi Yehuda know that an Asherah tree is Asur b'hana? Because the Torah says, v'asherehem tisrefun ba'esh. Now, this is Chazara, this is review, but if you remember, the immediate question that pops into head is, but excuse me, the Chachamim also have to deal with the Pasuk, right? In other words, the Chachamim also have to have some type of an Asherah tree that's prohibited. So what are they going to do with it? So the Gemara says, "Rabbanon, hay v'asherehem tisrefun ba'esh me'avdilei." What do they do with this pasuk? The answer is, "Miboilei le'ilan shenita'o mitchila lekach." No, the Chachamim agree there is such a thing as an Asherah tree that you have to destroy. If a person planted the tree with the express purpose of worshipping it, so that is an Asherah tree that the Torah says you have to destroy. But once the tree has been planted with pure motivations or no impure motivations, at that point, it's part of the ground, you can't make it Asur Bahana. Now, immediately the Gemara says, and this is the part we're going to have to remember when we get to the our sugya on Memches. The Gemara says, "Rabbi Yosei b'Rabbi Yehuda nami b'boy le'lahachi." Rabbi Yosei b'Rabbi Yehuda also needs a pasuk to tell you. And if you only have one pasuk, the pasuk teaches you the minimal chiddush, the minimal novel point. As we say, "Tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mo tafasta." You try to bite off too much, you wind up with nothing. So you have to learn the minimal. What's the minimal asherah tree that for sure should be aser? Ilan shenetal mitchilakach, a tree that was planted to be an Asherah tree. So Rabbi Yosei, Rabbi Yehuda, needs a pasuk for that as well. So the Gemara says, Hachinami. You're right, he does. He uses the pasuk of Asherehem tisrefun ba'esh just like the Chachamim do, which is to teach you that a tree that was planted to be an Avodah Zarah is prohibited. Ela ilon shenato lebesof avadu minon leinafkal. Minale. So, okay, so where now? Rabbi Yosef Ber Yehuda goes a step beyond the Chachamim. He says that not only a tree which you plant to be an Avodah Zarah is also, but even a tree that you planted, and then you later worship it, Rabbi Yosef Ber Yehuda says, that is also Asur B'hana, because that had human control over. That had Tfisa Seyad Adam. So what's the source? Nafgale me the Asherehem Tegadeun. That you learn it from the Pasuk of a second Pasuk in Parshas Vayeschanan. Vasherehem to gadeun, you have to be migadea, which means in some sense to uproot. So, but the Gemara interprets it as follows: Ezehu eitz shegiduo osur veikaro mutar. They're taking it not as to uproot, but to trim, to tear away. And we have it in our Mishnah that we just read before: gido upislo. If you trim the tree, you prune the tree. So, which is it? The tree that asherehem to gadeun, that the gidua is osur, but ikaro remains mutar. That the main part of the tree that was there already doesn't become osur. So, have I omer ilan shenatol lebesof avada. That's what the Gemara says for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda. He learns from Va'asherehem tisrafun ba'esh, like the Chachamim do, which is that a tree that was planted l'shem Asherah in the first place, you have to destroy the entire tree. But from Va'asherehem tigadeun, he reads that as you have to trim away the new growth once they worshipped it, but the old stuff, the ikar, that part that was there originally, remains permitted. Okay. Now, what are the Gemara then goes on to say, what do the Chacham do with that pasuk? And we said it was a game of ping pong back and forth. But this is the route that the path the Gemara chose to go down. That Vasherehem tisrafun ba'esh refers to an Asherah according to everybody that was planted to be an Asherah tree, and Asherehem to God deun refers to an Asherah where you only have to remove the new growth. Yeah.
Why wouldn't Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda just learn out from a Kama Chomer and apply
Gashrei
to Natau Besof Avado? And then from the Kama Chomer, you say, oh, obviously.
So I think the answer to that question is, if you only had the pasuk of Asherehem to Gadeun, you might have read it to rip out the entire Asherah tree from the ground, not to remove the extra growth, the gido, and then you'd only have one pasuk, and that would teach you the minimal chiddush. In other words, the pasuk Asherehem tigadeun is not explicitly about a tree which was there originally and then you pruned it, right? We're only reading it that way. He's only reading it that way because he has two psukim. So he starts out with Asherehem tisrafun ba'esh. Okay, that's sort of the baseline. It was planted to be an Asherah tree. Now he's got another pasuk. What does he do with it? So the Chachamim take a different route with that pasuk. They understand that there are two stages of destroying an Asherah tree. That's what the Gemara says in the continuation. First you come in, you knock the stuff all down. Once you're done, chasing anything happens, you go back and you burn the stuff. Right? So first you do gidua, and then afterwards you annihilate it completely. So if you only had one pasuk, Vasherehem tegadeun, you wouldn't have necessarily read that to refer to a tree that was planted, not l'shem Asherah, but then you trimmed it, pruned it, or you get rid of the growth. You would have read it to refer to destroying an entire tree.
But we first use the Asherehem tisrafu ba'esh. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda first applied that to Nato Besof Avado. And then the Gemara goes in that.
So the real question you have is, which the Gemara asks, is how could they say Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda uses the Pasuk, of Asherim Tishrafun Ba'esh to teach you a tree that was in Tamit Chikach? He says in the Braisa. Right? In the Braisa, he says it teaches you a tree which was not planted L'Shem Kach but was worshipped later.
Right.
So the Gemara answers. The Gemara forces its way into the Braisa. Our Sugya on Daf Mem Ches is going to ask why the Gemara went down that path. There was an alternative route to go. What emerges from the Gemara Daf Mem Hamad Beis is that everybody agrees that when a tree was not planted to be Avodah Zarah, the part that grew, that was there before became Avodah Zarah, is always Mutar Bahana. What is the debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? The stuff that grows later. The stuff that grows later, which means, according to both opinions, if there is a tree here that wasn't planted l'shem Avodah Zarah, and I bow down to that tree, nothing is Asur. What grows from here on in would be Asur, according to only Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, but not according to the Chachamim. That's the path that the Gemara set down on Daf Mem Hamad Beis. Right? Theoretically, which our Gemara is about to pose, is one could have gone down the other path. One could have said that no, everybody agrees that which grows anew after you worship it, is for sure Asur Bahana. The debate is about that which was there before you actually worshipped it. Will that become Asur Bahana? Right? In other words, there's going to be machlokas, and it could have been machlokas in both places, but This entire construction that we just looked at on Daf and Hamed Beis is a construction of the Gemara. It's a construction of the anonymous layer of the Gemara, the editors of the Sugya. Right? You're correct. As the Gemara points out, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Braisa just suggested that a tree that was planted shelo l'shem avodah zarah, but later was worshipped, is usur. He doesn't specify the ikar of the ilan, the part that was there before, or the tosefes, that which grew afterwards, and he quotes the pasuk of Asherim tegadei un. Right? That's all you have in the, he quotes the pasuk of Hashem tishrafun ba'esh. That's all the Braisa says. Everything else was the Gemara's construction to deal with a basic problem. What did the Chachamim do with the pasuk? And once we know that, well, obviously Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda needs the pasuk for that also. So where does he learn his additional din? Now the Gemara in Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph says as follows. If you go, turn back there, after the Mishnah, the eighth line. Amar Shmuel. Hamishtachave le'ilon tosefte asura. Shmuel says if someone bows down to a tree, that which grows in addition after that point is asur. Now at this point, before we even read on in the Gemara, you can tell me what do you think about Shmuel's opinion? Shmuel is following, it would seem to be following the opinion of only Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Next line in the Gemara, Masiv Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar asks a question from our Mishnah. Gida upisla lavodas kochavim vehechlif no tomasha hechlif. The Mishnah says that if you go and you prune the tree, and now, I'm going to grant you for the moment, and you worship the tree. Let's assume you worship the tree. You prune the tree, and now you worship it. So the Mishnah says, no tomasha hechlif. You remove that which grew anew. Now, is that different than Shmuel's din? Yes. How is it different? Because the Mishnah says, gido upislo in, lo gido upislo lo. In other words, the Mishnah implies that in order, assuming that it's dealing with someone who worships the tree, and he's megadea and mefasel, he trims and prunes the tree, and then he worships it, so in order for the rest, and the Mishnah says, oh, the only thing that becomes asur is the replacements, the stuff that grows anew. So the Mishnah says, you got to get rid of that. That's like Shmuel's din, except for Shmuel said, even if you're just bound to the tree, you don't have to do anything physically to change the tree. Everything that grows anew is asur. Whereas the Mishnah implies, only if you actually did something to the tree, you physically changed the tree, then that which grows subsequent to your worship becomes asur bana. So the Gemara responds by saying, no. Hamani. Amar l'cha Shmuel. Shmuel would say to you, and by the way, this is an important general point that I made this before every so often, it doesn't mean Shmuel said this. When it says Amar l'cha Shmuel, it means Shmuel would say to you. It's a hypothetical. Ha'mani rabbanani. The Mishnah is following the Shita of the Chachamim. U'Shmuel de Amar ki Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. De Amar ilan shenito l'besof avado asur. So the Gemara is suggesting the following right now. It's suggesting that the Chachamim, in the Mishnah, is the sheet of the Chachamim, and the Chachamim believe that Ilan shenita'o u'lebesof avado, the tree is mutar, not only that which was there before, but even that which grew later, unless, what is the Mishnah adding now, unless you actually physically transform the tree, then the Chachamim would agree that which grows anew becomes asur, right? It's only if it's just a tree there, and you bat with the Chachamim say, very nice, but everything is fine on the tree. But if you do something to the tree, then that which grows anew becomes asur bana. Whereas Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda believes, you don't have to do anything to the tree. Even though you planted the tree, shelo l'shem avodah zarah, once you worship the tree, everything that grows subsequently becomes asur.
What is it in the action that you're doing something specific that changes the status?
You know, it's the one when you physically transform. Again, think along the lines of the model of shinui. It's not actually a shinui. You're not kone the tree, and if you were, the entire tree would become asur bana. But the idea that everybody agrees. There's no debate that the difference between a mountain and an asherah tree that is prohibited is tfisas yad ha'adam. The debate in the earlier sugya is how much tfisas yad adam, how much human control is sufficient to establish it as now being a human object versus God's object.
So the action transferred to a human object.
Correct. In other words, according to the Chachamim, gida upislo is now transforming the tree from being God's mechubar to your mechubar. In other words, you can make something that's mechubar usr. If you plant a tree, l'shem avodazara, right, that tree will become usr even though it's mechubar. So it's always a question of how much tfisas yad ha'adam there is and what its relationship to the avodazara, the sequence. So here, if you prune the tree, according to the Chachamim, but not with the intent to worship it, you just want the stuff to grow better, and then a day later you say, oh, this is a beautiful tree, I think I'm going to worship it. The Chachamim would say, it's still mutter. Because you weren't Megadea or Mefasel, you didn't change the tree for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. But when you do transform the tree for Avodah, just as if you planted the seed for Avodah Zarah or planted the shoot for Avodah Zarah, it becomes Asur B'Hanah. So same thing here. Okay, so now this is the hard part of the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. Maskifla Ravashi. Ravashi asks a question, and the word mask, when the term is used, when the Gemara uses the term masiv, and it asks a question, masiv or mesive or esve, it means from a mishnah or a brisa. The term maskif, which means literally almost to try to overpower, is always a question from a svara, from logic. So maskif la Ravashi, mimai de Rabbi Yosei bar Yehuda v'rabbanon bitosefes pligi. Who says that they argue about tosefes? That which grew in addition after you worship the tree. Dilma tosefes ledivrei hakol aser. No. Maybe everybody agrees that that which grows after you worship a tree, even if you, for the moment, even if you didn't do anything to the tree, right? It was planted by a person, not with the intent of worship. Nothing has been done to the tree since. Somebody worships it. Everybody agrees that anything that grows subsequent to the worship, that's aser. And when do they argue? Uvi ikaro pligi. They argue about the tree that was there before you worshipped it. The Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda Savar, ikaro nami aser, dichsim v'asherehem tisrafun ba'esh. And as Rashi explains, v'asherehem is plural. There are two asheros, which is, one, the ashera that you plant, a tree that you plant to worship, and two, a tree, even if you didn't plant to worship it, but you worshipped it subsequently, that's v'asherehem tisrafun ba'esh. The Rabbanon Savri, ikar ilan shari, they believe that there's a case where the main part of the tree remains mutter, but that which grows anew becomes aser. And where would they get such an idea from? Dichsiv v'asherehem tigadeun, ezehu ilan shegiduo aser v'ikare shari, havei omer, Elon shenitao lebesof avado. So why not in effect invert it? Now the Gemara, here's the editorial comment. The chitema ha delo mitartzinan hachi. What if you want to say we weren't mitarets it that way? What is it referring to? Rashi explains. The Gemara earlier presented it in the exact opposite fashion. So the Gemara says, Ipoch Rabbanon, the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, Rabbanon. Who told you to go down the route that you went on, Dachmem Hamad Beis, invert everything? In other words, when we finished the Gemara that we just read before, what we had is as follows. There are two psukim by an Asherah tree. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda uses it to teach you, one, an Asherah that was planted to be an Asherah, two, an Asherah that wasn't planted to be Asherah. The Chachamim have used one, Vasherehim Tisrafun Ba'esh, for an Asherah that was planted to be an Asherah. What do they do with Vasherehim Tigadayun? They teach you that first you knock it down, then you go burn it later. It has nothing to do with the kind of Asherah tree that's prohibited. So the Gemara says, just invert it here. Say, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda learns from Vasherehem Tisrafun Ba'esh, two different kinds of Asherahs, Vasherehem, and then he uses, what does he do with the Pasuk of Vasherehem to Gadeun? To teach you whatever the Chachamim learn on the Achman Hamid Beis, which is destroy it, knock it down first, and destroy it later. Right? So you can invert everything. So why? So you'll ask, we didn't say that earlier? No, Ipoch. Flip everything around. Right, so the Gemara here displays an awareness of what the Gemara did in the earlier sugya. It's about to explain, it's about to give the answer as to why it didn't do this earlier. Why, in fact, it insisted upon presenting it as it did. But this is actually highly, highly unusual. So the Gemara says, Im kein, no, it doesn't work. Gido upislo man katanile. If you're going to say that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim all agree that if you have a tree that was planted not to be an Asherah tree, and somebody decides to worship it later, everything that grows afterwards is Aser Bana, and they only argue about that which was there before, so what are you going to do with the Mishnah? Im kein gida upislo man katanila. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah assumes that if you have a tree that wasn't planted to be an Asherah tree, and then Gida Upislo L'Shem Asherah, then that which grows subsequently is prohibited. But if you had a tree that wasn't planted to be an Asherah tree, and you didn't You didn't prune it and renovate it to be an Asherah tree, and you I'm assuming you bow to it. Then the Mishnah assumes that it would be mutter. Whose opinion is that? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim, when you bow to such a tree, prohibit that which grows anew. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda prohibits the entire tree, as the Gemara is about to say. Lo Rabbanon, v'lo Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. I Rabbanon, b'lo Gida u'pislo nami tosefes asura. According to the Chachamim, you don't need Gida u'pislo. A tree that wasn't planted to be an Asherah, but you worship it later, is asur. And the tosefes. And I Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, ikar ila nami asur. The entire tree is asur, without Gida u'pislo. That's why the Gemara says we couldn't go down this route, because if you adopted the route that said everybody agrees by the Tosefist that it's prohibited, that which grows anew, and they only argue about the part of the tree that was there before, then our Mishnah fits with nobody's opinion. Whereas, if you claim that the Machlokas is only by that which grows after you worship the tree, so Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda says it becomes Aser, and the Chachamim say it doesn't become Aser because you didn't do anything to the tree, but the Chachamim would agree. If you renovate the tree and then you bow to it, the renovations become Aser, and that the Rabbanon would be the authority or the author of our Mishnah. That's what the Gemara says. Now the Gemara is going to fetch a teretz. Say, you know what? We could make it work. Iboy yisema Rabbanon, v'iboy yisema Rabbi Yehuda. You know, I could actually make it work. Iboy yisema, if you want, I can say Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah could still be Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Ki ka'amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that the entire tree becomes aser is below gido upislo ikar ilan aser bistama. In other words, you know when he says, normally, if you just bow to the tree, so the entire thing is to become aser. Aval gida upislo, if you go and you renovate the tree, gali adaite de tosefes nichale, beikar ilan lo nichale. You didn't like the tree as it was, you want the new stuff. It's a kvetch, but. Iba yisema rabbanon, you could say the rabbanon are the author of Mishnah. Gida upislo et srichale. You're right, you don't need. Through Rabbanon, you don't need to do anything to the tree. If you bow to it, everything that grows subsequently becomes Aser. But you're going to ask, why then does the Mishnah have to say, Gido Pislo, that which grows subsequently becomes Aser? So the Gemara says, Gido Pislo it's Trichale. The Mishnah told us two things, by the way, when Gido Pislo. It told us, number one, that which grows subsequently is prohibited, but also not by implication, it also tells us that by Gido Pislo, that which was there before doesn't become aser. So the Gemara says, gida upislo et strichalei. Not that I needed gida upislo to tell me that that which grows new is aser, but rather, salka daita chamina, kevan da avid le maise begufe, ikar ilanami litzar, kamash malan. I would have thought that by gida, the chachamim say, if I bow to a tree that wasn't planted to be an asherah, that which grows anew becomes aser, but the rest of the tree, the original part of the tree, the ikar, remains permitted. But if I actually perform physical changes in the tree, then maybe now when I bow to it, the entire tree becomes aser. That's what the Gemara said. I would have thought, kamash v'lan, that even if, not just if you bow to it, even if you renovate it and then you bow to it, doesn't matter. For the Rabbanon, the primary, the ikar of the tree remains permitted. That which grows anew is prohibited. Okay, so that is the way the Gemara sort of handles this. But the simple interpretation in the end, this is a teretz which is a little bit forced, is that Shmuel's position is that of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Now, I want to just pull us back to one point from earlier, a point that I sort of started at the introduction to the shiur, to point out what was bothering the Rishonim, bothering Tosus especially in the Gemara. The Gemara had suggested the following. It said, what was the problem with Ipoch? Why didn't the Gemara earlier reverse things? Why didn't it say that the debate between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanon is by the Ikar Ilan, the tree that was there before you worshipped it, but everybody agrees that which grows new is prohibited? Why did the Gemara not like that? Because it said, if you adopt that position, who is the author of our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says that the only way that the Tosefes, the stuff that grows new, becomes prohibited, is if you've done Gido Opislo, you've renovated the tree, you've trimmed it, you've pruned it, and so on. And according to even the Rabbanon, you don't need to do anything for the tree, you just need to worship it. There is an obvious answer to the question. There's an obvious answer to the question. There's an assumption in that question. Shmuel said what? Shmuel said, HaMishtachave Le'ilan. You bow to the tree. That means you actually worship the tree. If you remember, I started the shir today by pointing out that the first two Mishnayos, by the bias and the stone that was used for the platform, for the bimus, in those cases of the Mishnah, throughout the entire Mishnah, the house was never, or the stone was never actually worshipped. In other words, a bias shebeno betchila lekach, a house that was built to be worshipped, yes, it was built to be worshipped, but you didn't actually worship it yet. A demos, which you used to worship, yes, you made it for Avodah Zarah purposes, but you didn't actually worship it yet. So I have a very simple answer to the question of the Gemara. Shmuel and Rabbi Yosef, let's say that both Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanon agree that if you worship a tree, everything, at least everything that grows anew, becomes usher. Sure. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah suggests that in order for the tree, in order for that which grows anew to be usher, you actually have to renovate the tree. The answer is simple. Our Mishnah is not talking about someone who worshipped the tree. Just like the first two Mishnahs, where you did it for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, but you didn't actually worship it yet. So say, everybody, both Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and the Rabbanah might agree that if you haven't worshipped the tree yet, you just pruned it in order to worship it, that's like decorating the house in order to worship it. Right? Now, what's Aser? Only the Tosefes. But it could be that if you actually worshipped it, well, if you actually worshipped the house that you renovated, the Rav says the entire house is Aser. So maybe the entire tree, or either the tree or part of the tree would be Aser. In other words, why does the Gemara seem to assume that in our Mishnah, it's clear that to talk about any prohibition of Hana, the tree must have been worshipped in the first two cases? Because that's what's being assumed. Why does the Gemara assume that just because that planting the tree, L'shem Avodah Zarah, or renovating the tree, L'shem Avodah Zarah, if you haven't worshipped it, is not enough to make the tree Aser? Right? That is what it's clear that's what the Gemara is assuming, because otherwise it had an easy out. That was the question that bothered Tosa so much. Tosa says, on the top line, Tema, Hodalo Mishani Gido Upislo Afal Pishlo Ishtachava, and Ishtachava Afal Pishlo Gido Upislo. That's the exact line of Rav earlier. Rav says a house which you worshipped even though you didn't build for Avodah Zarah, and a house that you built for Avodah Zarah even though you didn't worship it, they're both completely Asabana. So say the same thing here. Shmuel's talking about a case where you worshipped the tree. The Mishnah's talking about a case where you didn't worship the tree, but you planted it, L'shem Avodah Zarah, you renovated L'shem Avodah Zarah. That would have been the answer. Now, Tosfos comes up initially with he deflects a possible answer. An answer might have been, you know what? Shmuel's talking, not Rav. Rav was the one on the previous Amud. Rav was the one who said that if you build a house L'shem Avodah Zarah, it's immediately Aser Bahana, and if you worship a house, even though it wasn't built L'shem Avodah Zarah, it becomes Aser Bahana. Maybe Shmuel disagrees. Maybe Shmuel says that a house is considered Mechubar, because it's attached to the ground. So Tosa says that's wrong, and he quotes a Gemara that we've cited here before. The Ein Lefarish Mishum De Shmuel Les Lehach Shinuya Mishum De Kapala Galei De Rav Amar De Bayis Havek Mechubar. Don't say that Shmuel disagrees with Rav, and here, Ula'el Nami Lakalameima L'Shmuel Bona Afal Pishal Eshtachav. You can't say that Shmuel earlier would have read the Mishnah differently. Why? The Beperek Nigmar Hadin in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the fifth or sixth parak. Masik l'Shmuel hacha b'mayaskinan bekever binyan. Shmuel, we mentioned this before. This Gemara. When Rav died, so people chasidish rebbe ma'aselach are not a new thing. They've existed a long time. So, and when Rav died, people were taking dirt from his grave as a cure for fever. They came to Shmuel and told him this. They thought that it's Aser. They're being nene from Rav's grave. And a grave, a kever, is prohibited in Hana. So Shmuel said to them, not a problem. There's no Isser. So the Gemara, why? Because Karka Olam is not Nesar. That which is part of the ground isn't Nesar. Very similar to our Mishnah, that the Harim don't become Aser. And then the Gemara asked a series of questions that all assumed that a kever was prohibited in Hana. And what was the Gemara's answer in every case? The Gemara said, Hocha b'mayaskinad b'kever binyan. It's talking about a mausoleum, meaning a building in which you inter the mace, which even though it's attached to the ground now, it was the parts were detached. V'chashav le'talosh. And it is considered detached from the ground, even though it's a bias. The Gemara there actually makes an analogy between Avodah Zarah and a kever, the exact same notion, that something that is karka olam, the mountains, the grave that's dug into the crypt, That's always Mutar Bana. If you make a building, you put a mace in it, you make a building for Avodah Zarah, that's Talish. Not considered attached to the ground. That's considered Talish. So you can't say that Shmuel disagrees with Rav. You can't sort of slip out of the, you can't pull a Houdini here and say, ah, Shmuel doesn't agree with, this Gemara is working within Shmuel. Wrong. Shmuel must agree with Rav. That if you have a house and you mishtachav it to it, it becomes Asar Bana. So why not say the same thing in our sugya? Why not say, Shmuel said, HaMishtachav et le'ilan, Tosefto becomes Asar. The Mishnah that says that only if Gido upislo the renovations become Asr, the Mishnah is talking about a case where you didn't actually worship the tree, but you renovated it l'shem avodah zarah. That would have been the answer. And you can't say Shmuel disagrees with Rav. So the Tosa says, "V'yesh lomar hainu time edalo mishani lei hacha kidla'el." The reason why the Gemara doesn't give that answer here, as it did on the previous Amud, is devada yesh chiluk bein ilan nabayis. This, because you can't say that an ilan, you can't say an ilan because you planted it is not mechuba lekarka. In fact, the ilan shehu mushrash bekarka, butla betfisaso kideprishis leel. An ilan that has taken root, so the its tfisas yada adam is totally gone. Earlier, Tosus made the claim that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, when they disagree, they only disagree by when you plant a tree already when it's a shoot. If you take a seed and you put it in the ground, Tosus says everybody agrees it cannot become Asar Bana later because that is completely mechubel karka. That's not, that doesn't have any human involvement. So Tosus generally believes that then some, that the Chachamim hold that once something is mushrash, once it takes root, that is mechubar in every sense of the word. It's not like a bias, and therefore hilkach yidua upiso below ishtachava. Tosa says that's why in our Mishnah, if you want to say that the guy was Megadea or Mefasel, the tree, L'shem Avodah Zarah, without worshipping it, nobody's going to say it's Asar Bana. He says, Afilu Lamanda Omar, Akum Avodas Kochavim, I say Avodah Zarah Shel Goy, Asura Miyad. Even though there's a machlokas, and Rav is assuming, that when a goy makes an avodah zarah, even though nobody has worshipped it, it's immediately asur bahana. Even if you assume that, hainu bedavar talush, that's only by something that's talush min akarka, that's detached from the ground. D'chsev psile Elohim kevan she pisalo. Once you engrave it, naselo aloa, it becomes a god. Avozeh shehu machubar the indanto shiye avodas kolchavim rak ma sheyachlif ein la osro. Below Hishtachaval. The only way it's going to become Asr is if you actually worshipped it. Okay. All right. So anyway, that is the sort of the conclusion of this Gemara, and the conclusion of this sequence of Mishnayos. There is one postscript to the Mishnah, which is the next Mishnah, which we read last week, but we'll read it again with the Gemara's comments. Note that the Mishnah had said there are three kinds of Asherah trees. A tree that you plant L'shem Avodah Zarah, a tree that wasn't planted L'shem Avodah Zarah but was renovated L'shem Avodah Zarah, and then a tree that they worshipped, put an Avodah Zarah underneath, where they didn't and never intended to worship the tree itself. Ezo Asherah, kol sheyesh tachta avodas kochavim. What is an Asherah tree? A tree that there is Avodah Zarah underneath it. Now, that's a little strange statement to make. The Mishnah just told you there are three kinds of Asherahs. Now you wake up, it's like you missed the shir, you took a nap, okay, and also you wake up, and what is an Asherah tree? It's like, excuse me, you've been here for the last hour. So, Ezo Asherah kol sheyesh tachta avodas kochavim, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol sheovdin osa. He says, no, only if they worship the tree. There was a tree that, by reputation, they used to think that people worshipped it, and they found a pile underneath, a pile of stones. Rabbi Shimon, check out this gal, unearth it, and see what's inside. And they investigated. Umatsu botsura. They found an image. Amar lahen ho'olotsura hin omdim. Natir es ha'ilan. Since clearly they're not worshipping the tree, they're worshipping the image, the tree is permitted. And he sounds like, even though they haven't removed, even though they haven't actually removed the Avodah Zarah yet.
So why is that a Kiddush? They're not worshipping the tree. So we know that.
But the previous Mishnah says that the Kiddush is Rabbi Shimon.
The
Kiddush is Rabbi Shimon, that since Rabbi Shimon doesn't say, since they removed the Avodah Zarah, the tree is mutter. He says, since they don't worship the tree, it's mutter. The Tana of the first, the first Mishnah on top of the page assumes even if they don't worship the tree, as long as the idol is there, you're not allowed to benefit from the tree.
Okay.
Only when nitala, only when the avodah zarah has been taken away, harezah muteres. Then the tree becomes mutter. But until such time, it's awesome. Rabbi Shimon says nothing doing. He says hoel ul tsurahin ovdin natiresa ilan. Since they don't worship the tree, they only worship the idol. The tree is mutter. The idol is obviously awesome. So the Gemara immediately asks, esu hashera v'hanan shalosh hasheras tan. We'll give you three for the price of one. So the Gemara says, no, hachi ka'amar. This is what the Mishnah means. Shtayim divrei hakol, v'achas machlokas to Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanon. Really, what the first Mishnah should have said, there are three Asheras, two according to everybody, and a third according to the Chachamim, but not according to Rabbi Shimon. And ezoi Asheras shenechleku ba Rabbi Shimon v'Chachamim, which is the Ashera tree that they is in dispute, that maybe it is, maybe it isn't an Ashera tree that's prohibited. Kol sheyesh tachta avodas kochavim. Rabbi Shimon omer, kol she'ovden osa. So that's what the Gemara says. The Asherah that they argue about is the tree that has avodas kochavim underneath it. But Rabbi Shimon says only if they are ovdim osa is the tree actually awesome. Okay, now the Gemara says, ezohi Asherah stam. Okay, this is all very nice, but how do you decide whether the tree? If you don't know, when you how do you know whether the tree is actually an Asherah tree? So, Rav Amar Rav Kol Shekomarim Yoshim Tachteha Ve'in Toamim Miperoseha. If the priests sit underneath the tree, but they won't touch the fruit of the tree, it means they consider it sacred. And he says that that is considered an Asherah. That's a sign. That's proof that it's an Asherah tree, right? If you ask around, and it turns out the priests sit underneath the tree and they don't eat the fruits because they taste horrible, so then that's not a simon that it's an Asherah tree. That's just a simon that the fruits taste horrible. So then, Shmuel says, "Afilu Amri Hani Tamri Lebe Nitzrafe Asur, the Rami Be Shichra V'Shasi Lebe Omedam." Even if they say that these dates, they're sitting under a date palm, and they say these dates are for Be Nitzrafe, which is some Avodah Zarah. I assume if you know Persian, anything about Persian divinities, I imagine you'll figure out what this is. So apparently, they would make beer out of the dates. And they would drink it as part of their festival. This was like their equivalent of the Eucharist wine. Okay, this was their sheikhar. So that's a sign that it's an Asherah tree. Amar Amemar Amarli Save de Pumpadisa Hilchosak Yishmuel. So the elders of Pumpadisa said, we paskin like Shmuel. That's a sign. Presumably, this is not so much halacha lemaisa, because today, if you want to figure out whether something is an Asherah tree or not, assuming there anybody actually does have Asherah trees today, you have to figure out how people mark Asherah trees today. Right, if it's got a big sign on it that says Asherah that way, then probably. Some actually, I remember I had a professor at NYU, Professor Baruch Levine, who suggested that the word Asher in Hebrew, is cognate with the word Asar in Aramaic, which means place. And that the word Asherah might be sort of the place marker where you worship the Avodah Zarah. It's kind of a directional signal. So, anyway, so today you have to figure out where the sign says Asherah tree. That way you'll know where the tree is and you're fine. Okay. The Mishnah continues on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis. This could have been, I mentioned last week, this could have been very halacha lemaisa. Fortunately, it's not. I know that as I drive down Lexington Avenue, there's at least, I'm sure there's more than one. I only have one landmark in my head of where there's a church passing by. So if you were to come in the evening, right, somewhere up like in the 88. So let's say the question is the following. It's very hot today. Come later this afternoon, later this evening, when the sun is already off to the west. All right, or, you know, it's a little past noon. So if you walk on the eastern side of Lexington Avenue, you're going to be in the sun. But at a certain point, if you cross the street and you walk in the shade of the church, so you're not going to be in the sun. And so the question is that a prohibited form of hana from Avodah Zarah? So,
but it's low yeshu.
What's that?
It's low yeshu. You've got to sit down. That doesn't say lola.
So that position is posited amongst the Rishonim, that issue is raised. There's a Ritval who has a couple ways of reading it, but some would say it doesn't necessarily make a difference. And let's say you're having a conversation with Rabbi Lichtstein, you're asking an important shayla, he says, I have to stop walking, I need Yishav Hadas, and you know, it's very hot here. You know, the Gemara has an expression that certain sugyos require, you know, tzilusa, they require certain clarity, so you're allowed to walk into shul if you have to, you know, deal with those sugyos as opposed to standing outside. So you want to sort of take shade. You don't have to sit down. Yeshev doesn't mean to sit. It, at the very least, it's like shulach and poem achamor, to be misakev. Well, no, that's to dwell, but shulach and poem means to wait. There's to purposely tarry there. So let's say in that sense, lo yeshev bitzila could mean even to sort of tarry. You want to take advantage of the shade. So the Mishnah says, talking about the Asherah tree, lo yeshev bitzila, v'im yoshav tahor. Now, the shade of the tree, a tree casts multiple kinds of shade, as we're about to see. But in our terms, you can easily envision two different shades of the tree. Shade number one of the tree is if you're underneath the tree. Meaning if you were to take a, you know, perpendicular line and you look straight up, are you under the tree? The second kind of shade, you don't have to be under the tree for. You just have to rely upon the angle of the sun. And if the sun is on one side, you go on the other side of the tree. Depending upon the time of day, you'll have more or less shade. So the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to sit in the shade, but if you sit, if you stop, so then you're tahor. You don't become impure. Well, odd. Now the Mishnah says, velo yavar tachteha. You're not allowed to pass underneath it. And now it's very clear. Tachteha means underneath the oil of the tree. The tzel means where you're not under the tree, but you're getting its shade. Lo yavar tachteha, v'yim avar tameh. If you pass underneath the tree, you actually become tameh. Now that's a little strange. What's the tumah here? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara is going to explain. I don't know if we've encountered yet. I don't remember where the Mishnah is. It may be. Was it earlier in this parak or is it later? I know it was. It was in not so long ago, a few weeks ago. In Zion Amid Beis, they spoke about the stones and the wood from a Beis Avodah Zarah that fell down. So the Mishnah had a machlokas. Whether or not those stones are mitame bimaga or mitame bimasa, only if you touch them or even if you just carry them without touching them. So the Mishnah assumes there is a degree of tumah associated with Avodah Zarah. This Mishnah is assuming a step further, that Avodah Zarah is not only mitame if you touch it, it does not only defile you if you carry it without touching it, it defiles you even under an ohel. It's like a mace. Right, you know, we saw the source for this. In fact, the Gemara will say is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who says that the Torah's description, the pasuk in Tehillim's description, of when they worship Baal Peor was Vayochlu Zivchei Mesim. They ate the slaughterings of the dead. So Chazal say, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that there's a hekesh, there's a comparison between Avodah Zarah and a mace, and just like Avodah Zarah is. Just as a mace conveys tumah, so too Avodah Zarah does as well. So, the Gemara will talk a little bit about this detail later, but the point is that if you're in the shade of the tree but you're not underneath it, that's not called ohel. Right? In other words, let's say you have a mace, let's say you have a tent, and you have a mace that's under the tent. So if you walk under the tent, and you're under the tent at the same time with the body, so you become defiled. Let's say the tent is casting shade, and you stand not under the tent, but you benefit the shade, you don't become tameh. Because you're not under the same ohel as a mace. So the Mishnah says that if you pass underneath the tree, you're tameh. Then, now, there's one ambiguity in the Mishnah, which is the Mishnah says you're not allowed to pass underneath it, and if you pass underneath it, you're tameh. The question is, are we focused on what we would call isur v'heter here, that which you can and can't do, or are we focused on tumah? In other words, why is it lo yavar tachteh? Is that so you shouldn't become tameh? Or is it actually prohibited to go underneath it? Now, presumably, from the first line of the Mishnah, it's prohibited to walk underneath the tree because you're benefiting from the tree, just as you benefit from sitting in the shade. The only difference is that when you're actually underneath the tree, you become tameh, but when you're only in the shade but not underneath the tree, you don't become tameh. Now the Mishnah adds one last line. Ha'isa gozeles es harabim. If the tree was stealing from the public, it means that it was overhanging the public thoroughfare, v'avar tachteha, and you pass underneath it, you are tahar. That seems very, very, very strange. Right? If that were really true, imagine that by a kohen and a bani, you know, they have no right to bring the body here, right? I'm allowed to walk on Lexington Avenue. I don't care if there's a roof. It's too bad. That's gozelas as harav, I can walk. That's ridiculous. Cohen can't. It doesn't matter. You know, there are all sorts of discussions in the halachic literature when you have to move a mace for the benefit of the Kohanim. There's a discussion in the Rishonim about this question. Let's say, do you have to move a mace? If it's covered a mace, to leave the mace there, but it's trapping the Kohanim, to what extent are you obligated to move the mace? But clearly, when the mace is there, the Kohen's not allowed to go. So it's obvious from this line in the Mishnah, and the Gemara, and the Rishonim point this out in a number of places, Tumah of an Avodah Zarah, is only Midrabanan. All right, Tumah from Avodah Zarah is not Midaraisa. Therefore, the Chachamim weren't goes there. When the Goyim have their Asherah tree overhanging the road, and you have no other way to go but to walk underneath the Asherah tree, because otherwise you can't get from place A to place B, so then what are you supposed to do? And the Chachamim don't want to make a Gzera in that case, and therefore it remains permissible to walk underneath there, and that's assumed, and you actually don't become Tameh in doing so. Okay, so I'm going to conclude with one last point, which is the question of, what about a base Avodah Zarah? There are no Asherah trees on Lexington Avenue, to the best of my knowledge. But there are things that could arguably be called Batei Avodah Zarah. So one of the questions you have to ask, but not on my interest right now, is the part of the building that you're benefiting from actually part of the chapel? If it weren't, so maybe it's not. Maybe that's not called Mishamshei Avodah Zarah, right? We've learned in the last couple of weeks that a house that houses an Avodah Zarah but is not worshipped is Mishamshei Avodah Zarah. It's Tashmishei Avodah Zarah. And therefore, when the Avodah Zarah is, it has bittul. It's easy to be mivatel. But it has to be that which is Mishamshei Avodah Zarah. Normally, we say by tefillin that Tashmish to Tashmish. If it's something that serves the tefillin is not called a Tashmish, right? If the outer bag is not Tashmishei tefillin. Same thing, presumably, here. If you have an inner sanctuary and an outer building, maybe it's not us. But let's assume that the wall is, in fact, part of the chapel. Let's see, maybe you can see the stained glass and you know that's the chapel. So then, in fact, it should be a problem. You know, there are two questions asked. Number one, intentionally doing it should certainly be problematic. And B, let's say you were walking on that side of the street, you weren't thinking about it. Should you have to cross the street? You know, should you have to cross the street in order to avoid the shade? So Tosas on top notes, there the two line toasters on top of the page, notes that the Gemara Pesachim tells the story that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was expounding, he gave a public drasha in the shade of the Heichal. Meaning the Heichal was very tall and arbais, it cast shade, and he gave shir there. He gave shir in the shade because it would be uncomfortable for people to stay in the sun. So the Gemara says it's mutter. So why then is tzeil a problem here? So Tosus says, "V'lo dami letzilo shel heichal, tahasam heichal nesocha also aval asherah asuy letzeil." It's actually based on something the Gemara there says. The Rava says in the Gemara there, you know when tzeil is asur, when the object is built for that shade. What does the heichal supposed to provide shade for? Inside the heichal. That's what a house is for. A house is not meant to provide shade outside the house. It's meant to provide protection inside the house. So the tzeil of the heichal inside, in theory, if you'd be there, would be asur b'hana for your own purposes. But the tzeil of the heichal outside is not a problem. So an asherah tree, the purpose of the shade is from the tree, underneath the tree, in the shade of the tree. But a base of Avodah Zarah, Tosfos doesn't talk about that, but a base of, according to this answer of Tosfos, a base of Avodah Zarah would be permitted. Because a base of Avodah Zarah, the purpose of the tzeil is letocho, and therefore any shade that's cast outside, that's not the primary purpose, that is not asur b'hana. Inami chumra davodes kochavim shani. Could be no. The difference is not between inside and outside and the purpose of the shade. The difference is between hekdesh and avodah zarah. Avodah zarah, we have a lot of chumras by because Chazal wanted to keep us very, very far away. In which case, if that's the reason why the shade is usher and asherah tree, it would be usher even by the shade of a bias when the shade is outside because it's avodah zarah, so that would be a problem as well. So more on shade next week, I'd rather.